Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Glory be to Jesus. And now you notice we were in Matthew 8 just yesterday and talking about the leper, right? When he came down from the mountain, great multitude followed him. Behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, tell no man, go your way and show yourself to the priest. Verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum. Can you see, we've been reading this New Testament all this time, and there was this is what I mentioned it already, but this is what I call going widescreen. You start off reading here and there and here, and all of a sudden, whoa, amen. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, they came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now hang on a minute, back up here. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I will. My servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will. Well, out of the mouth of two witnesses, come on. Amen. Come on, folks. Huh? I will. I will. I will. I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Now, wait a minute. Hold it here a second. Let's talk about worthy to come under my roof. There has been an unworthy doctrine, and it's part of that, it's part of religious brainwashing, and there never was anything so horribly wrong. He said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. But he wasn't talking about, he was not talking about what religious people talk about. I'm just so unworthy. I'm just so no good. No, he's telling Jesus, I know I'm a Jew. I mean, I know I'm not a Jew. And when it, because this man, if you read the accounts of this, I mean, he built a synagogue. I mean, so he knows some scripture. He understood that. And Jesus knew he understood that. Because the leaders of the synagogue had told Jesus about this man. So he already knew. But he is saying, I know I'm not a Jew. You don't have to put yourself in that position by even coming to my house. I know you ain't supposed to do that. So don't be talking about it. Don't be thinking about that. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Where have we heard that before? We heard Jairus say that. Come lay your hands on her and my daughter will be healed. We heard the woman with the issue of blood. If I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. So he made a faith statement right there. And he said, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. This man is a centurion. He is a Roman combat soldier. The reason he is a man of authority is because he's a man under authority. He didn't become a centurion by disobeying orders. Now, there's something to learn here about this. Amen. You are not just a child of God. You're a soldier in the army of the Lord, and you are under orders. You have awesome, awesome authority over everything that breathes, swims, creeps. Those little flu demons, they're creeps. You have authority over them. Awesome authority. Awesome authority. You have the same authority as Adam, with only a step higher than Adam. You're joint heirs with the King of Kings, the heir of all things, which means you and I literally have ownership of the earth and the heavens along with him. It is awesome. It has never, the depth of the authority of the believer has never been plumbed. But when you continually disobey orders, I don't disobey orders. Well, now you're going to line. The orders start out with loving your neighbor as yourself and loving the brethren even as he loves the brethren. Amen. That's where the order starts. Amen. It is an order from the Lord Advocate General Commander in Chief of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord Advocate General. The judge himself. Amen. We're under orders. This man didn't say, well, you know, this Capernaum, if there ever was a sorry place to be, I despise this place. Don't we have a base somewhere else? Don't even go there. You're thinking AWOL right now. They've changed it from my day, Jim. Back then it was just AWOL, absent without leave. That pretty well said the whole thing. What is it now? Absent without proper authorization or some other. So I don't know what it, just plain old AWOL, brother. I mean, yeah. You know, yeah. You're gone and you ain't supposed to be gone.
That's right.
Can't you just imagine a guy come in and say, boy, I don't like it out here. It's too hot. Man, it's terrible in this place. Nasty, boy, it never rains. Don't we have a base in Hawaii? I know we do. I've seen it in the movies, man. I know we got a base in Hawaii and the weather's wonderful. So I'm going to Hawaii. And just pack up your little ditty bag and head out to Hawaii. And you go in and report. This is, private, stupid. reporting for duty. We ain't ever heard of you. And so they go to digging around here. You don't have any orders. In fact, hey, we got a warrant for you arrest. You AWOL hoss, haul this idiot out of here. Now, what do you think his opportunities for advancement are now? That he just took upon himself just to go somewhere else. Well, I'm telling you, Christian people do it all the time. God put you in an absolute fine church and your family's being ministered to and the children are being ministered to and they're preaching faith and you're learning and growing and you're getting stronger and somebody comes along and offers you $50 a month more money and you pull your family out of a church that God calls you to be in and you go AWOL. Or what's even worse, you go AWOL because they didn't treat you like you thought you ought to be treated. They don't let me park where I want to in the parking lot. Well, I know nobody in here to do that, but you know there are people that do that. I like got my family killed like that. The Lord told me to go back to school to go to Oral Roberts University. I didn't want to go to school. I hated school the first time I went. And I'll tell you, I don't mind telling you now, the reason I hated it so bad was because I wouldn't live right. And I was called whether I knew I was called or not. My mom was praying night and day. I tried to go to hell and she wouldn't let me. So, but then even after I got born again, I'm still bucking the traces. And so a church that we really liked down in Houston, pastored by Brother Hilton Sutton, who was so good to us and helped us so much. And he said, they were having a great meeting there. This meeting wound up going 6 weeks and I'd been a part of it and did some singing there. And I wasn't qualified to preach, but I did some singing and so forth. And so they said, why don't y'all just move down here and just be part of this church? Brother, you just take over the music of this church. I thought, glory to God, that's what I'm gonna do. Well, that's what we headed out to do. And we left Houston, headed up through, going up to Arkansas to visit with Gloria's mother and dad. And then we were going to drive from there back over to Fort Worth and load up our stuff and go to Houston. That was my plan. Well, we pulled out of Houston that night, Halloween night, and just topped the hill out. Of course, back in those days, another thing, then I paid absolutely no attention to speed limits or anything like that. Hey, that's a law. It ain't your prerogative to break it just any time you want to. You literally, by accepting your driver's license, you agreed to obey the law. That's not your choice. Well, I kept top this little hill headed into Marshall, Texas. I could see the town and it's just a two-lane highway, but it opened up like that, and there was a just as it came up this intersection, and there was a caution light going. Well, I could see it we came over this hill. I was doing about 85, and I came over the top of that hill. I just took my foot off the accelerator and coasted down in there to that intersection. I was still doing about, I was close to 60, I guess, when I came up to that intersection. And it's outside of the city limits. There was a car in that infield sitting there underneath that light. Just as he was stopped. So just as I got to him, he decided to go across the road. Man, oh man. We got it together. Well, Kelly's just a little girl, almost three, and John's not but 4 months old, and he's laying in the front seat on a pillow between Gloria and me. Gloria is so sick with the flu, she could hardly tell where she was. And I got out of the car and couldn't find John, and I got Kelly out of the back seat and Gloria and set them down, and the cars went together like this. And I almost missed him. And then they came together like that. He bounced off. My car went head nose down into a bar ditch like that. And anyway, got them all out of there and found John and got him into the hospital. We got in the hospital. They put us in a large room all together. John had four of his ribs broken loose from his back, and his arm was broken. He died about 4 months old. And Kelly was in shock. Gloria is sick. And I'm sitting there with John on my chest. You lay him down, and it was just, he'd start crying. And when he cried, his ribs hurt, and you know. So I had him on my chest, and I'm just rocking him, praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. I knew what I'd done. I said, oh, Jesus, forgive me. I pulled a Jonah here. I didn't want to go to Oral Roberts University. Now, see, that was not my decision. I was not a man under orders. I was not a man under authority. That's the reason I couldn't be promoted anymore from there. And I'm sitting there rocking. And while I'm praying, I felt this warm, felt like, I've always described it as just warm honey, came down my head. I could feel it. And as it got down to my head, got down, just oozing down. And when it got down to John, he dropped off to sleep. And it moved through me. I had some pain in my elbow and stuff, and in my chest where it hit the steering wheel. All of that pain left. Never hurt me again. Never, ever hurt me again. Totally healed right then. John's his little head just dropped over, and he's sound asleep. Kelly went sound asleep. Gloria was sound asleep. Woke up the next morning just absolutely totally healed from top of her head. Now, one of the things that brought that healing on. See, I didn't know what I'm teaching you tonight. I didn't know how to function faith. But what happened? I agreed with the commander. I said, yes, sir. I'm going to Tulsa. And I'll do. See, he didn't bring that on me. I brought it on me. There's a lot more to the story. But the next morning, well, of course, I called my folks, and they came up from Fort Worth and picked us up. My car was totally wiped out. We stopped and looked at it on the way out of town. And I could see no way that four people got out of that thing alive. It was destroyed. And, oh, it's quiet in that car. Man, I'm just sitting there in the front seat with my dad. And we drove along there a little while. He said, Kenneth, he said, son, what are you planning to do next week? I said, Daddy, I don't know. He said, you know, your mother and I are partners with Oral Roberts. I said, yes, sir, I know that. He said, you know, they have partner meetings at Oral Roberts University from time to time. I said, yes, sir. He said, They sent us invitations, but Kenneth, he said they sent us two invitations instead of one. Would you and Gloria like to go? I said, yes, 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 yes. I got to get there quick. But can you see what I'm saying to you? When this man was a man under authority, but he presented that authority to Jesus and he said, you speak the word only and my servant will be healed. Jesus spoke that word and his servant was healed. And listen to what Jesus said. I have not found, he said he marveled at this man's faith. I've not found such great faith in all of Israel. What was so great about his faith? He demanded no physical or mental evidence whatsoever. His feelings had nothing to do with it. His feelings didn't have anything to do with it. When his commander said, do this, he did it. And when he told someone to do this, they did it. And feelings had absolutely zero to do with any of it. You just obey God. Hallelujah. This word healed that centurion servant. This word, amen. Is Jesus called the Word or is he not called the Word? Yes, Jesus is the Word. He is the Word that God sent and it healed us and delivered us of our destructions. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Well, come on, give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Worship Him. Praise God. Amen. We're out of time. We'll be back in just a moment.
Well, you know, in the office, we love our partners and we really like the opportunity to pray with them on the phone, to answer their emails. We love sending them products to help them in their study of God's Word. And they are our family. We consider ourselves to be one big family together. And you know, it's vital that people have a strong place that they can connect into where they know they're being taught the Word of God. They know that there are Word-believing people and faith-convicted people, that when we pray and when we believe God together, that there'll be a turnaround in their situation. Praying for our partners would be one of the top things that we do on a regular basis. So we do pray for our partners every day, and it's really important because our partners understand that they're in a covenant relationship with the Lord and connected to that with Kenneth and Gloria's ministry. So, you know, our partners are sowing their time into praying for what we do in the ministry themselves. They're also connected with us by sowing their seed into the ministry so that we can do everything that we need to do and help support other ministries by the sowing that we do. And so, in turn, we want to be able to pray for our partners because they have just such a vital connection with us, and we know that we have a vital connection back with them. So praying for our partners, it's an absolute priority for us. We love to do it, and of course we're delighted when we get testimony from our partners to let us know what's happened as a result of the praying that we've been involved in the office. Hearing partners from our testimony is one of the great joys and privileges of being connected with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And after you've prayed with someone and you've stood on scriptures with them and you've encouraged them to believe God for a turnaround in their situation, well, what a joy it is when they contact you and say, hey, you know, my situation has been completely turned around. I've received healing. I've received a financial miracle. I'm debt free. A relationship that was not good has now been restored. And so it encourages us so much in the office. It's like we know that the Lord is ready and waiting to answer prayers and just to be involved in people's lives and to do the miracle or to cause the change to come. But then when they contact us and say, hey guys, I've got a good report, well, we're so happy, we're rejoicing with them. So this is part of what it means to be in the KCM family.
Every Friday is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory, and I want to read this to you from the book of Galatians chapter 6. Verse 6 says, let him who has taught the word of God share or respond in all good things with him who teaches. Now listen to this from verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. When you make an investment into the kingdom of God anywhere, you are sowing to the Spirit. You are sowing into what God is doing in the world, what He's doing in the body of Christ, what He's doing for people to bring them into our family. And many of you watching this broadcast are already partners, and I want you to know that on behalf of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, we appreciate your prayers. We are thankful for what you do financially in this ministry, and we call you blessed. You have sown to the Spirit, and you can be assured. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And we're in agreement with you right now that you will reap from the Spirit everlasting life. We're in agreement that you will reap your wisdom that you need. You will reap in the healing that you need. You'll reap in the finances. You will reap in every area of your life. And we pray today that your seed into this ministry is opening up a door of access for God to get involved with you, get involved with your family, your business, your ministry, your finances. And I pray this too, that when He does go to work in your life, He causes you to know that your seed into this ministry threw open wide the doors for Him to get involved with you. Father, we receive the giving of the people today. We call them blessed, increased, multiplied. In Jesus' name, we say, rise up and advance. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. Thanks for watching the broadcast today. I want to remind you, if you've missed any of the broadcasts, you can watch them on demand at kcm.org, or you can visit us on our Roku channel. A lot of ways to get the word. Whatever you do, just get it. Get it in your life. Amen. Join us next week on the broadcast. We're doing more teaching from Brother Copeland all about God's will to heal you, finding out from the Word of God who you already are in Jesus. You don't want to miss this. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. Expect the fabulous outpourings from heaven this year. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.